Welcome back, everybody, to the Caught Red podcast. As always, we are your hosts. I am Megan Light.
And I'm Jesse Light.
We're just two dog lovers here to talk some true crime, horror movies, and of course, our dogs, too. I don't think last week when we were talking about movies, we mentioned No One Will Save You, did we?
I don't think so.
What is that driving by? It's like an airplane on the ground. No. Do you hear it?
I hear it. I don't know if they'll hear it, but Yeah, No One Will Save You. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Aliens. Had some War of the World vibes to it.
I liked it, though. It was interesting. And it had the girl who plays Loretta from Justified, and I like her as an actress. If you haven't watched it, it's on Hulu. It's one of their Hulu movies they made. And she is agoraphobic, afraid of crowds. I think that's agoraphobic, right?
Is that what she was?
I think kind of, because she had the incident with her friend, and so she was kind of shunned out and stayed in her house and did everything from her house because no one in the town likes her. And while she's there, aliens come, and she can't ask for help because nobody likes her. So it's just her against like this alien race that is trying to take her, but she fights back the whole way. I liked it. I thought it was interesting. And then the very end was very strange.
And it may have been too late to ask for help anyways.
Yeah, because they were taking people from the town.
And she lived off in the boonies, kind of.
She lived where we want to live.
So she might have been like last to get...
Got.
Get got, yeah.
Yeah, because she tried to run into her neighbor's house, and they had already been taken. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't remember if we had talked about it last week.
No,
I didn't think
didn't.
We did.
No. We talked about the villains, which was another weird one.
Yeah. There's another one on Hulu. What was that one I sent you?
It Lives Inside?
Yes, I am ready to watch that. So we'll have to do that later.
Well, let's go.
Or tomorrow.
We can get through this live one take and we'll have to edit. We can just watch the movie.
You need to talk to your son over there about that. Yeah. And your daughter over there about that. Other than that, nothing new. It's tax season for the lighthouse, but that's about it.
Yes. Our neighbor is done with their studio, so.
Oh, yes.
That will be.
Jerry.
Pretty soon.
We'll have to tag him in. When he gets up
and
going.
Oh, and Quartzmire Music has new music out, Around the Fire. Go check it out on Spotify. They're just dropping hits left and right. Man, they're busy in 2024.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's pretty good. All their music's good, so.
I'll pull it up later then. Check them out.
If you don't know, that's our intro music.
And our friends.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go. Let's go, love.
All right, we going. My sources are Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which is one of those that you got to screenshot real quick. Otherwise, they're going to be asking you for money with those pop-up ads.
Would you like to read the rest of this? I would. Yeah. Please give us money.
Sign up for $3.99 a month or some bullshit. Like, no.
No, thank you.
Then I got ParanormalCatalog.net. Yes. You see where we're going here?
I like it.
Paranormal. Lessons from History by Dale Brumfield in Medium.com. And then The Dog Boy Haunting by Jason Roberts.
Dog Boy Haunting?
Yeah.
Is it similar to a dog man?
Only a dog boy. We'll get to that here in a sec. Don't you worry. Goodness.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go. Now, I've said it a couple times on here that it just amazes me how many true crime cases we can find in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Just all over our home state.
Yeah, and I sent you how many the other day, and yeah, I was like, I've never heard of any of these.
I hope y'all aren't getting sick of all the Arkansas cases, for one. Megan branches out more than I do. And I'm going to switch it up a bit, but we're still going to stay here in Arkansas, so just deal with it.
Suck it up.
And it's mainly because I stumbled across an urban legend. I guess you could call it that. It's one I've never heard before, and it's just down the road from us, literally like 20 minutes away. And is it really an urban legend if it's true in some case, I guess?
Well, urban legends have to be based off something.
Okay.
I would say yes to an extent. Yes? Yeah.
Okay. Well, in this case, the story, the true story is just as interesting as the folklore, I guess.
Okay.
Arkansas is one of those areas that is filled with ghost stories. Most of the older homes seem to have a spirit attached, so it would take something extra crazy to stand out from the crowd. And this story that I found was pretty wild. This is the legend of Dog Boy. I'm going to take you to Quitman, Arkansas. Quitman is a small town right at the border of Faulkner and Cleburne County, home of the Bulldogs. And I drive through there at least once a week and have never heard this story.
Is that the football field that they lost their goalpost in the storm?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's cool. Okay.
And growing up, I played against them in basketball. They were the Bulldogs. We were the Bulldogs.
Oh my gosh.
And no, their mascot was just a normal bulldog, not a dog boy. And today, Quitman, Arkansas hovers around a population of 700 people. There's really not a lot to do there. You've got your usual retail stores and services. The Doghouse restaurant seemed like it was the cornerstone of Quitman for the longest time, but within like the last couple years, the owners sold it to someone else, and now it's Fawn and Jeff's Kitchen.
Is that like, here's the gas station? Is it the one that's like right there by Sonic?
Yeah, right across the street from both. It's always so busy right there. And some people who live in Quitman believe that ghosts, including a World War I soldier and a large terrifying figure known as Dog Boy, haunt a Victorian-era home in downtown Quitman. But what makes Quitman so special that their residents get to go ghost hunting and sit around the campfire on summer nights and tell ghost stories, while us in Greenbrier have to sit here being envious, you know?
I know. I want an invitation.
Why can't we have some crazy ghost stories here? But, I mean, it's only 20 minutes. We can check it out.
Can we get a newsletter sent to us of meetings?
Well, it may have to do with the area's past. Quitman is much older than almost any community in central Arkansas. This area was originally a popular place for men to enlist in the army during the Civil War. And then it became a major trading center and an important crossroads. It was like the halfway point when you're traveling from Memphis to Little Rock. Or from Batesville to Conway. And that's how I felt when I went to college in Batesville and I was driving back home to Conway. I was like, once I got to Quitman, I knew I was getting pretty close. It's not a terrible drive.
No.
2 hours tops, but Quitman was formed in 1880, home to 8 merchants, a blacksmith, a cotton gin, 2 physicians, a carding factory, and a number of other businesses. But by 1890, Quitman was a well-established community, with its business section having added a woodworking shop, a drugstore, a furniture store, and a sawmill.
Wow.
But then also in 1890, one of Quitman's finer homes was built by the Garrett family. This house that sat at 65 Mulberry Street was known then as the Garrett House. And it really was a beautiful home. You had this big yellow 2-story house, and you can actually find it on Zillow. I'm sure Megan's looking it up right now. The Jackson family lived there first. Benjamin Jackson lived there with his wife, who died when she was about 28 years old. Their son Joseph was born in 1898. He served in World War I, and he died at the age of 21. I believe that was in the war.
Oh, it's beautiful. Ugh, look at all that character.
Are you looking at the inside too? It looks like it's been redone since.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
I would live there. Haunted or not.
Well, I feel like any home that's built before 1900's got to be haunted by something.
Oh, that upstairs room's real creepy. I like it.
It just doesn't have land, so you wouldn't want it.
Mm.
Pick it up and move it to like a 10-acre plot of land.
Oh.
Perfect.
That'd be beautiful.
The Garrett house went through a number of different owners, but none really stood out after the Jacksons until the Bettis family moved in the early 1950s. Floyd and Aileen Bettis, the couple was childless for many years until they finally had a son in 1954, Gerald Floyd Bettis. Gerald was a difficult child from the start. Floyd and Aileen were good people, but Gerald was a handful in more ways than one. He was a brat, vicious, and cruel. He developed some unusual habits early on, too. He would catch stray dogs and cats around town, but he wasn't playing veterinarian. He would torture and kill them. And this is where I lost Megan.
I guess you're doing this episode by yourself. We are leaving.
Neighbors could hear them howl, and they would often complain about finding the mutilated remains of his quote-unquote pets scattered around the area.
Are you kidding?
No, he was...
I would have hung that kid by his toes.
He was... There was something wrong with him. People were terrified of him, too, and what he would become. One woman said that if you ever seen his eyes, they seem to glow at night.
Damien.
And you would think, though, if his parents were such good people that they would put a stop to this, they would discipline their child. But nope. Gerald even kept the critters in makeshift kennels where he would torture them for extended periods of time. And that's kind of where Gerald Bettis got the nickname Dog Boy.
That is not where I thought the story was going to go.
It's going. And when you hear awful stories of disturbed kids like that, you always think, like, when are they going to transition to hurting humans, right?
Yeah.
It always happens that way. Now, Bettis had trouble at school, too. Kids would bully him and take things away from him. He was an abnormally large child, and that was often the target for the bullying. But...
I picture Sloth from the Goonies.
He might have looked like that. I don't know. But it was also like he sought out the attention, too. For example, at a large family reunion at Quitman City Hall, Gerald took one of those old chaise lounges over there, and he got some grapes and laid down on it to eat them in front of everyone.
Like an old Greek or...
Like
is
he
it,
was
is it
a
Greek or
king
something
or
like
something,
that?
Yeah. I don't know how old he was when he did that, but that just sounds like he wanted attention, right? His actions only worsened from the torturing of animals, and they always do. I feel like that's always the start of serial killers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gerald grew up to be a big boy, 6'4", 300 pounds, big enough to be the bully now. And his parents ended up being his victims of choice. He pretty much imprisoned them in their own home. They were locked upstairs in the attic and basically starved. He'd feed them, but only when he decided it was time for them to eat. I'm sure it was after he got his fair share.
And this is that house that I said's beautiful.
Yeah.
Burning it down. Just.
They were basically prisoners of their own home. It was reported that Gerald would abuse both of them. When you'd think authorities would put a stop to it, at least before it got too late, right?
You mean you would think the parents would murder their own kid before he got too big to...
Or shit. Somebody would be like, where is Aileen at? You know, why didn't she come to bingo tonight? Well, she's locked up at her house.
Her son's got her locked up in the attic.
What the hell? Well, one day, Gerald threw his father out of an upstairs window. And this was during his teen years. His father was in his 70s at the time. So it was amazing that he was able to hold on for dear life, long enough for the fire department and police to get there and help him down safely. Floyd would end up dying in 1981, according to the Heber Springs Sun-Times, after he fell ill at his house. It was said that he had pneumonia. But then there were other rumors where...
Poisoning?
No, Gerald pushed him down the stairs and he broke his neck.
Those are way different.
Way off. Yeah. You either got sick by pneumonia and died, or you broke your neck falling down the stairs. Which one is it? Then in the early 1980s, Aline Bettis fell and broke her hip. She had to go to the hospital, and a nurse named Miss Mary Hollibird said she witnessed the abuse Gerald showed toward his own mother. He would slap her around and verbally abuse her right there in front of everybody, I guess. But
someone slapped the shit out of him. He's making me angry.
Yeah. Well, Hollibird did the right thing. She intervened, and Mrs. Bettis ended up being placed in an adult protective services and removed from the home permanently.
Thank God.
I don't know about you, but I don't hear that very often. Like adult
protective
services. I always hear child protective services, mm-hmm. not adult. So just crazy. Gerald continued to live in the home alone and even built on an additional room to keep his animals. But not long after, he was actually arrested. One, due to his mother's testimony of the abuse.
Good.
And then two, he had built a sunroom on the back of the house where he would grow marijuana and sell it. Obviously, couldn't do that back then. Bettis was put in prison in the late 1980s, and he died of a drug overdose while he was in prison.
Interesting.
This was May 1988, and he was 34 years old. And you may think that that's the end of this troubling tale, but no, this story doesn't end with his death. When Mrs. Bettis died in 1995, Mrs. Hollibird's niece, Reba Carter, inherited the house. Not long after, there was an estate sale at the house, and Reba Carter would then sell the house to a man named Tony Weaver, who was a truck driver from Morgan. Weaver and his wife lived in the Bettis home for a few years, but they claimed there was a lot of paranormal activity going on in that house. Now, Mrs. Weaver actually saw an ad in the local newspaper about a group called CASPR, which was the Central Arkansas Society for Paranormal Research. That's cool.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I was just thinking Megan would love to work for them. She contacted the founder, which was a Miss Karen Shillings. Mrs. Weaver told Shillings that she would turn all the lights off before leaving to work for her night shift job. And then when she would get home, all the lights would mysteriously be turned back on. And at first, she just thought that maybe someone had broken into her house. But then more and more supernatural events started to go down. She said that one time, pennies floated down the stairwell from the upstairs.
What?
Yeah, the coins would just stop and all fall to the floor at once right in front of her. How crazy. It took her 6 months to finally come to the conclusion that she didn't want to live there anymore. So there just must have been other things going on too, not just the pennies and the lights. Needless to say, she was pretty frightened that she wanted to move out like that. I mean, you see in movies, they just refuse to leave the houses that
right.
are haunted, I swear. And she wasn't the only one seeing paranormal activity in the house. Mr. Weaver saw things too. He said he was working on the house one day and saw a man looking through the foyer into the living room. He resembled a World War I soldier, even wearing a helmet. They believed it was Jackson's spirit.
Oh, yeah.
The young boy from the very beginning that was like the initial owners of the house. He ran after him, but when he got into the living room, the man was gone. Mrs. Hollibird's nephew, Quentin White, and his wife, Stephanie, lived in the house in 2003, and they had similar issues. Strange things would happen on a pretty regular basis.
Hmm.
The toilet would randomly flush on its own.
I mean, that might be nice.
Quentin was doing some DIY projects in the home one day and was on the phone with Stephanie when he heard a crash upstairs. He had previously stacked a large pile of 2x4s on the floor. When he got up there, the boards were all standing up straight. Now that's creepy.
Dude.
And they only lived in the Bettis house for a few months, so they're like, fuck that, I'm out of here. And Tony Weaver either always owned the home and rented it out or took ownership of it again later on, but he would show the house to potential buyers but really had trouble selling it. And I think it was mainly because of its history.
Mm-hmm.
He said he once put a new pair of sunglasses and his prescription meds on a table, and next thing he knew, they were gone. And he said he was so sick of the darn spooks. He was just ready to get rid of the place.
Those darn spooks.
Those darn spooks. The main reason he had so much trouble selling the place was because the spirits would let them know if they didn't like the potential buyers.
I like it.
The buyers would feel chills and their hair would stand up. One lady brought her young daughter to the house with her to take a look, and the girl was extra sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
The young girl stopped at the stairs and wouldn't go up there. She told
a lot of kids are like that, though.
They just feel things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said that she felt very sad all of a sudden. Another buyer walked in and saw a recliner that had flipped back on its own, like someone was sitting in it, and it stayed like that the whole time they were viewing the home.
Like the spirits were like, all right, move along. I'll just yeah. be right here if you need me.
And then another buyer brought their dog with them to see the house, but the dog just refused to go inside.
Yeah, because it's got dead animal spirits in there, too.
It sensed a bad presence in there, for sure.
Well, we couldn't live there then.
Really?
Yeah, look at all our critters. Yeah. They would not go in that house.
I just feel like you'd want a haunted house, though.
I do, but
just not one like that?
Not one that animals died in.
You want a happy haunted house?
Something like that.
A guy named Ed Munnerlin worked on remodeling the Bettis house. He was a former pilot with Federal Express from Little Rock, Arkansas. He preferred to work on the house at night because word had spread around town and around Arkansas that the house was haunted, so people would want to come see what all the fuss was about, pretty much. And so I guess he couldn't get any work done during the day because of all this. It must have been like an attraction or something.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty rational person, but he even experienced some paranormal activity.
You remember Dad telling you about Ricky getting locked in the restaurant overnight?
Yes.
That's who I'm thinking of right now, because he's a military man. He's very rational, like this guy, I'm sure. And Ricky was waiting for Dad.
And he heard a bunch of noises, right? Or what?
Yes. Ricky was building a room inside the middle of the restaurant. It was just an open area to the outdoors, and he was enclosing it so we would have more seating. And Dad told him, hey, you're probably going to hear some stuff. And Ricky was adamant about just locking him in the restaurant overnight, and he'd knock everything out and be good to go. And when Dad got there the next morning, Ricky was waiting on Dad up front, and he had heard different noises in the restaurant, and he'd go around looking to see if my dad was there, and nobody was there, and then he'd be doing something else, and he would hear footsteps going up and down our little hallway we used to have, and Dad was like, I tried telling you.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. That's just one of the many stories that my dad can come on and tell again.
Well, this Ed Munnerlin guy, he always felt like someone was watching him.
Mm-hmm.
He said he saw a few spirits as well, so he would pull into the driveway and he'd see a man looking down at him from the upstairs window. I know. He dressed in a brown jacket and a bow tie like he was from another time period. He also said he saw the ghost of Gerald Bettis several times in that extra room that Bettis had added on to keep all the stray dogs and cats that he abducted.
Mm-hmm.
This figure was this huge, weird-looking man with long brown hair, creepy eyes, and great big arms and hands. And Munnerlin said he walked right in front of him and glared at him. Then he just walked through the hallway and disappeared. Around the same time, he felt a cold gust of wind on his neck. And then he would hear loud slams or other noises that sounded like someone was in the house and walking across the floor.
Yep.
But he couldn't see anything. They just let him know that they were there with the noises. And Casper investigated the house in 2005. Schilling was the lead researcher. They went to the Bettis home on two separate occasions. The first time they found cold spots, which were 10 to 15 degrees colder than the rest of the house. They used an electromagnetic field detector, and it picked up all kinds of electromagnetic readings, some that they couldn't really explain. Schilling's team tracked an entity through the kitchen area where one of the team members felt like he was touched by someone. When they went outside at one point to get some equipment from the car, they looked up and saw the same figure in the upstairs window as Munnerlin did. They quickly checked the upstairs and there was no one there, though. The second time they went to the house, the team used a medium. They got in touch with what they believed was the spirit of Gerald Bettis, and he was not happy. For one, he was not happy that they were there, and he cursed them and told them to get out. The team used videotape to record what they considered to be additional evidence of paranormal activity. They witnessed orbs flying through the wall and unexplainable flashing lights. Schilling said the most spectacular records wound up missing somehow, and they were never able to relocate the film.
They're in the house somewhere.
Something happened to them. And I glanced at the listing history on Zillow, and you can tell by the listing price that people were turned off by something. Now, originally, it was listed at $130,000. And the house plummeted all the way down to $68,000 before finally selling in September of 2014. So it took like 2 years, I believe, during that time. Now it's been sold a few more times after that, but.
And just to give people an idea of this house, it is 6 beds, 3 baths, 3,125 square feet.
Dang.
It's a big house for someone to sell it for $68,000.
Unless they added on more to that sunroom and all that stuff.
It says, built in 1891, renovated in 2004. That's the only record of that. The lot itself is 10,000 square feet, give or take.
And it could have been like a slump in the market, but I have a feeling it had more to do with the ghost.
The lore, yeah.
The ghost of the dog boy that lingered there in the Bettis home. But yeah, it's so crazy that such a story is just minutes away from us. I mean, who would have guessed that such an account of terror and torture would be right in our backyard?
I think this is really funny. On Zillow, when it talks about the house, like the overview section, it says, once owned by a prominent Quitman family with lots of history.
Yes. What kind of history? Crazy, though. And had it not been for, like, the actual newspaper accounts and police records, it would have been difficult just to imagine the level of cruelty that was inflicted in the Bettis home by the dog boy.
Did you see it was sold again in 2021?
Yeah.
$194,000.
Yes, it's up there now.
It's getting there.
But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the story of the dog boy of Quitman, Arkansas.
Ugh. That is not where I thought you were going when you said dog boy, because you know what a dog man is, right?
It's like a werewolf type or
it's
what?
It's like a creature, a mythical cryptid thing.
Well, there's a weird picture on Google Image.
What do I type in? What do I need to look at? Dog boy?
Dog boy, Quitman, Arkansas, I think.
Dog boy.
It's like a human with a big pointy snout.
Hold on. Images.
There's a picture of him as a kid, but that's all I could find. And of course, the house.
I don't know where this picture is you're talking about. But, oh, ooh, no, I don't like that at all. Ooh, that's wild, though. I would never have thought. Little Quitman, Arkansas. Because that's where we got Buster and Tessie. Remember, you went with Mom and I, and you wouldn't let me go alone because you knew I'd come back with a puppy.
Kind of on the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Quitman is the outskirts. But yeah.
Good job, love.
Thanks. Switched it up a little bit.
I like it. I've been thinking about doing a creepy one, too, lately. Still on my thunder. It's fine.
We were saying we were going to do some, so.
I like it. Still true crime-ish because there was murders involved. But.
Allegedly.
Kind of. You know, if I had been locked up here, like in this room, for instance, like where we're at, I'm going out the window. 75 plus or not.
Oh, you think he tried to escape and wasn't pushed out?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like maybe he saw someone passing by and.
Trying to get help.
Trying to get help and was falling out the window.
Possibly. I would too.
We'll have to go up there and drive by the house.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm so ready. I want to see what's around it. I want to see where it is. Because you say downtown Quitman and there is a downtown, but it's not really like.
It's literally a block.
You blink and you're through it.
It's a block past the gas station.
Okay.
It's like behind it, pretty much.
I'm down. We can road trip.
Like, sorry whoever lives there now, but.
Don't mind us. I'll just stand outside and wave like a little creepy person anyways. I'm like, let me see the house.
It'll be like you anytime we park next to an old Jeep and you just go looking in the windows.
Oh, yeah. Guilty as charged.
I can't do it because I look suspicious like I'm trying to steal it. But you're less intimidating.
Why, thank you, sir.
You're harmless.
I look like I'm like 16 most days. Thanks.
Who's this little kid looking in our Jeep? You're getting on your tippy toes.
Yep. I like it, love. That was good. We will definitely have to do more of those. That is going to wrap up today's episode. I hope you guys were creeped out. I hope you guys will do some research where you live. And if you find something that's kind of along those same lines, send it our way. Because we always like recommendations. And the creepier, the better, obviously. And if you would like to leave us a review, you can do that wherever you listen. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You just gotta spell pod a little differently, PAWD, when you type in Caught Red Podcast. And next week, we will be back with some more true crime, unless I am inspired by my husband. But then that'd be too much back to back. I wouldn't want to freak anybody.
No, we can do that. No, it's fine.
But we'll be back regardless next week. So until then, stay local, shop local,
murder local.
Ooh, love.